الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 2nd of April in the year 2018 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 12th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu. And I've reached the stage where I've mentioned that during the encounter at Uhud, 70 of the blessed companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum were blessed with martyrdom. So to put a few names to these illustrious figures, the chief of martyrs, Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu, was blessed with martyrdom in this encounter. So he is probably the most famous martyr of the Battle of Uhud. Our beloved messenger, when he saw his body, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called him the chief of martyrs. But in other reports, other people are mentioned as chief of martyrs. And the response here is that these are the leaders of the martyrs. For instance, our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Hakim Sahih, that the one who stands up to a tyrant and speaks out against him and is martyred, he's also the chief of martyrs. And this is why the famous report about the end of time, the one whom Dajjal kills, and he comes back to life and then he's thrown into his apparent fire, he's also the chief of martyrs. And his martyrdom is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. So Sayyidina Hamza also has the distinction that our beloved messenger offered many funeral prayers for him. He offered the funeral prayers for the martyrs of Uhud and he continuously did it for Sayyidina Hamza radiyallahu. The other illustrious martyr, probably the most famous after Hamza radiyallahu, is Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu. And I mentioned a few things about him prior, but he was the famous companion who lived a luxuriant life. He was a trendsetter and his mother would bring him clothes and perfumes from all over the Arabian Peninsula, even in from Yemen. But when he embraced Islam, he changed. And the Prophet, eyes filled with joy upon seeing him. And the Prophet said, this is the effects of Iman upon this individual. He was the ambassador whom the Prophet sent to Al-Madinah to spread Islam. And his job was amazing because there wasn't a single household in Al-Madinah that didn't have a Muslim through his efforts. So he was blessed with martyrdom. Then there's, like I mentioned, I think yesterday or the night before, Sayyidina Abdullah, who was Sayyidina Jabir's father. Sayyidina Jabir was one of these, a very famous Sahaba radiyallahu, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. His father was blessed with martyrdom in Uhud. Jabir radiyallahu had six sisters. When he got married, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, have you married a virgin or a non-virgin? And then Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, I've married a non-virgin, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Bukhari, why did you not marry a virgin? So you could have played with her and she could have played with you. And then Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I've got six sisters and I needed somebody to look after them. A kind of a mother figure. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him for this. And Abdullah, his father, was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And the father had explicitly told him to look after his sisters. So that's Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu. Then, like I mentioned, I think a few nights prior, there was Sayyidina Hanzala radiyallahu, whom the angels washed. Sayyidina Hanzala radiyallahu, he almost gave the fatal blow to Abu Sufyan ibn Harb in this encounter. But a man called Shaddad prevented the strike. And Hanzala was martyred shortly thereafter. When water was seen flowing from his head and they made inquiries, his wife mentioned he didn't get a chance to do the ghusl, i.e. after having intimacy. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is why I saw the angels washing him. But what's interesting, the same was true with Sayyidina Hamza. Water was seen dripping from him and there was the same reason. So he was martyred. Then there's Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Rabi' radiyallahu. He was the famous Ansar companion who was paired up with one of the 10 from his paradise, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and the famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, where Sa'ad ibn Rabi said, I've got two wives, I will divorce one, you can marry, and I'll give you half of my wealth. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf embarrassingly said, may Allah bless you with your family and property, you show me the market. But this shows the sacrifices that he was willing to do, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Rabi. So this great companion was martyred in the Battle of Uhud. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he suffered, I believe, 13 to 17 wounds in the Battle of Uhud. He had a limp thereafter. But when he saw Sa'ad ibn Rabi martyred, he wept. Because that was his pairing in Al-Madina. Then there's Sayyidina Amr ibn Jamuh, radiyallahu. He was the companion, radiyallahu, he was an elderly man. And he couldn't, he had a problem with walking. He had a limp. And he had a son. One of his famous sons was Mu'ad ibn Amr ibn Jamuh, radiyallahu. And his sons were going for the encounter. And the father wanted to come, Amr ibn Jamuh, radiyallahu. So the son said, father, you got an excuse. You know, you're crippled. Basically, you can't really walk. He goes, no. He says, I want to go. Ask the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet was asked, he goes, if he wants to attend, he may attend. And then what happened when he was martyred, Sayyidina Amr ibn Jamuh in Uhud radiyallahu, the Prophet smiled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, I've seen him running in paradise. In other words, you know, Allah Ta'ala, obviously all disabilities leave a person once he enters paradise. So this was another great companion who was martyred. Then there was two others who were very old, Sayyidina Yaman and Sayyidina Thabit ibn Waqash radiyallahu anhuma. They were initially in the place where the Prophet had put the women, children and old people. They were there because they were excused because of their advanced old age. But when they saw the encounter, Sayyidina Yaman and Sayyidina Thabit ibn Waqash, he says, why are we here? Because we're almost on death's door. Because we might as well go into the battle and who knows, maybe we'll get martyred. So when they both elderly men went onto the battlefield, Sayyidina Yaman, the believers themselves thought he was one of the enemies. And they killed him. And his son, who's very famous, Sayyidina Hudhayfa, the keeper of secrets, Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiyallahu, he said, my father. But it was too late. He was struck. And then later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hudhayfa radiyallahu, we will give you blood money. Meaning it was accidental that your father was killed. But Hudhayfa said no. He goes, I waive it. And then the Prophet brought Hudhayfa very close to him. So Sayyidina Yaman was one of the martyrs, Hudhayfa's father, in the Battle of Uhud. And Sayyidina Thabit ibn Waqash was also martyred, his companions. Then there was Jews who also entered the battle, who became Muslim. There was Sayyidina Mukhayrik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him as the best of Jews. This is recorded in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat 1-501, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, Ibn Sira 3-131 and others. So this particular Jew, he told the tribe he belonged to, the Prophet needs help because it's the Sabbath, it's Saturday, we can't do anything. And he goes, scuff the Sabbath. And he went onto the battlefield and he was martyred. And the Prophet goes, the best of Jews. And another Jew who embraced Islam, Sayyidina Usayrim radiyallahu, the Prophet said about him that I seen him in paradise and he has not offered even a single prayer. Not a single salat he offered him. And he goes, he's a man in paradise. This is recorded in Abu Dawood, number 2537. Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-28, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, and others. So these were some of the martyrs. Of course, by going through 70, it'll take all session. But these are some I mentioned. And of course, not forgetting Sayyidina Talha, who was not martyred, but he was the living martyr the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, one should keep in mind such venerable souls when paying one's respect at the blessed graveyard at Uhud. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with all the magnificent companions of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and constantly increase our love and veneration for such noble and lofty souls. Amen. So moving on with the life of Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu. And this is entitled, this narration, the unbelieving Quraysh almost decide to return to finish the job. So like I mentioned, they left. The Prophet sent spies and they were returning to Makkah. But they almost returned. They almost decided to return to finish the job off. So where is this recorded? So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 4563, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sirah, page 421-2 of the English translation, Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah ibn Abu Bakr, he relates, Ma'abad ibn Abu Ma'abad al-Khuzai, still a polytheist, passed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people of Khuza'a, their believers and polytheists, were all sincere advisors to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they never concealed anything from him. So stop in the report. So, like I mentioned a few nights prior, the Khuza'a tribe were very loyal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were sincere to him. The believers and unbelievers. So think about that. It wasn't just the believers from this tribe. They all had veneration for him. This particular man, who in this report, he was an unbeliever from that tribe. His name is Ma'abad ibn Abu Ma'abad al-Khuzai. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no doubt your affliction has grieved us, and we would have liked that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given you power over them. So stop in the quote. So they lost the battle. 70 martyrs. The Prophet injured himself. So Ma'abad, imagine, he's an unbeliever. You'd expect him to be happy that the Prophet's lost. But when he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, it's grieved us. We would have been more happy if you had won the encounter. Then Ma'abad left. He left the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was in Hamra al-Asad. This is a place roughly 8 miles from Medina. So he traveled for about 8 miles. And he met Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu anhu, and those who were with him in Ar-Rawha. They having now decided to return to fight the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. So stop in the report. So Ma'abad, after comforting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 8 miles out or thereabouts, he sees the enemy chief, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. Don't forget, he's an unbeliever. And he sees that they're coming back now to finish the Prophet off and go to Al-Madinah. And he heard them saying, we have killed the nobles, chiefs and leaders of the companions. How should we now leave before we exterminate all of them? Let us thus now attack the rest of them until we annihilate them. Having seen this, Ma'abad, Abu Sufyan looked at him and he asked him, what is the matter with you, O Ma'abad? You look concerned. So Ma'abad, he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has set out leading his companions in pursuit of you, in a gathering the like of which I have never seen. And they have a strong longing and yearning to face you. And those who remain behind from him in the battle of Uhud, showing regret for what they have done, have also joined him now. So Abu Sufyan looked at Ma'abad. He goes, woe to you. He goes, what are you saying, O Ma'abad? Ma'abad responded, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think you would not leave until you see their horses anytime soon. So Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we decided to attack them once again to exterminate the rest of them, because we've decided this. So Ma'abad said, I sincerely forbid you to do this. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I have seen of them led me to compose some poetic verses about them. So then he recited some poetry showing the bravery of Muhammad and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan thereupon asked him what he had said in verse, and he recited to him his poetic verses in which he described their strong cavalry and infantry and the war awaiting Abu Sufyan ibn Harb from engaging with them, radiyallahu anhu. Thus, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, and his companions were dissuaded from the idea of fighting once again. Stop in the report. So look how amazing. He's an unbeliever. And he's totally helping the Muslims. And he goes, what, are you going back to fight Muhammad? He goes, yes. He goes, they've come out in even stronger numbers. Then he starts reciting poetry. Indeed, before Abu Sufyan had met Ma'abad, a caravan belonging to Abdul Qais passed by him. And they informed him that they would go to Al-Madinah. So this is the second part of the report. So before Ma'bad came and told them this news, this particular caravan was passing and they were going where? To Medina. So Abu Sufyan said to them, radiyallahu, would you convey a message from me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if you did so, I would give you soon in the Uqaz market as much raisins as is the lord of your mouths. So he basically told this caravan, the leader of that caravan, he goes, send a message from me to Muhammad. If you do it, I promise you, you'll have plenty of raisins, camel loads. He goes, yes. He thereupon said to them, if you meet him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform him that we have decided to proceed on towards him and his companions to exterminate the rest of them. Tell him that. The riders thus came upon the messenger of Allah. Look how strange. So that caravan is now on behalf of Abu Sufyan. They met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hamra al-Asad, where Ma'bad had met our beloved messenger earlier and conveyed to him the message. They go, Abu Sufyan is coming with a huge force, O Muhammad, and they're coming to wipe you out. The Holy Prophet thereupon recited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 173. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So look how amazing. One person going outwards, Ma'abad, he's helping the Prophet. He dissuades Abu Sufyan radiyallahu. This caravan coming to Medina, because of the temptation of raisins, they came to Muhammad because they're coming. And they're coming with a huge force. Now the Prophet is not aware that Ma'bad is working on his behalf. You understand? So all he's got is news. They're coming now again. So what did the Prophet recite? That beautiful verse. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Meaning, it doesn't matter. We're weak. We're weakened, we've lost 70 of our great men. We haven't got a chance to recover from the encounter. But if they are coming with stronger force, we're ready for them. And that holy verse the Prophet recited at this point, and also which other holy Prophet recited it? What was the history behind this blessed zikr? Anybody know? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And when did he recite it?
In the fire.
When they were flinging him into the fire. He recited this. He goes, Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakeel. Sufficient for us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the best disposer of affairs. And look how amazing. It was a critical moment in his life. And wasn't this a critical moment in the Prophet's life? He just reiterated what his beautiful great-grandfather said all those many centuries or millennia ago. But adding details, something else happened as well. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 422 of the English translation, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir 2-146, Abu Ubaidah, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, when Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu left on the day of the Battle of Uhud, he thereupon intended to return to Al-Madinah to now exterminate the rest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Sayyidina Safwan ibn Umayyah ibn Khalaf radiyallahu anhu, he said to them, do not do so. For the people have been exasperated. It is also feared that they would now fight you better than they did with those who had not participated earlier. Those who return. So stop in the report. So now Abu Sufyan doing mashra with his own men. He's ready to go for them again. One of his own men, who later became a sahaba, Safwan ibn Umayyah, what did he say? He goes, I think that's foolish. Because we didn't fight the full force. Many of them had broken away from Muhammad before the battle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because if they come back with a stronger force, it's hardly advisable. We've defeated them. So Safwan ibn Umayyah said, we should know, we should return to Makkah. They did accordingly. Being informed of this turn of events, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and he was in Hamra al-Asad, 8 miles from Medina, by him in whose hand is my soul, shower of stones would have been prepared for them if they had gone ahead with their plan. Indeed, had the stones fallen upon them in the morning, they would have thereupon perished like those of old.
Mm-hmm.
So our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Safwan saved them. If they had returned, we would not have engaged them. Allah the Almighty and Glorious would have destroyed them. Just like he destroyed Qawmi Lut with stones. Because they would have been wiped out. So now if you look at the two reports, there's like a kind of a confliction. You got to combine the reports. It was Ma'abad ibn Abu Ma'abad al-Khuzai's warning to the Quraysh, which was confirmed by Safwan ibn Umayyah in the ranks of the Quraysh, radiyallahu anh, that prevented the Quraysh from eventually now heading back to Al-Madina to finish the job. Have you understood? There's no contradiction. The unbeliever, he put the doubt in their hearts. Safwan ibn Umayyah amongst their own men, he says, absolutely, we need to return now. However, this is the key point. In reality, in his great compassion, it was no other than our loving Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who first spared the believers a second encounter with their enemies, in addition to sparing the then completely ignorant unbelievers to an encompassing heavenly annihilation. Subhanallah. So this was the supremely merciful, showing compassion to both sides. Why? For the Prophet side, obviously, he spared them a second battle. But he was showing mercy, who else? To the unbelievers. He would have absolutely wiped them out. So the reality is, yes, you got the politics. It was the unbeliever Ma'abad ibn Abu Ma'abad with his words who put the doubt, and then it was Safwan ibn Umayyah who convinced the Quraysh to return. But the reality is no. Allah the Almighty and Glorious was showing compassion to both sides. He didn't want them to have a second encounter for the believers out of compassion for them, and for the unbelievers to spare them complete annihilation. Have you understood? So now that's significant. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala was decreeing mercy to many of the unbelievers. If they had encountered again, they would have been wiped out. It was absolutely essential for them not to come back with the intention of wiping the Muslims out. You understand? So again, this is what the Prophet was showing, was explaining with regards to the encounter. So the next section is entitled, The Second Destined Encounter at Badr. What did Abu Sufyan ibn Harb say before he left Uhud? He goes, our meeting again is next year at Badr. And the Holy Prophet told the Sahaba to respond, yes, we will meet next year at Badr. So yes, they were spared a second encounter immediately. But now we're going to discuss the second destined encounter at Badr. Thus, in the following year, 4 years after the Hijrah, in the month of Sha'aban, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam headed out as promised to Badr to face the unbelieving Quraysh once more. Conversely, as the time was drawing near for the second encounter, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu now felt disinclined to face the believers again. So look how interesting. He set the challenge. But now he's thinking, I don't think she would meet them. I think they might have recovered now and they might be ready for battle. So he was declined. The winter rains had been even more scant than usual. And as the winter passed, there was now also a sudden increase in temperature. The weather was hot and dry, and the year thus promised to be an unusually bad one. So not only this, something had happened to the climate, and they were getting roasted basically. Hence Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, once again with his wry and cunning, decided to postpone the operation. Hence he once again sent an agent to Al-Madinah to spread the false rumor that the Quraysh were assembling in vast numbers. And this time would come in much greater numbers than at Uhud. So look how amazing. This is part of his military genius. Because I'm not going. There were no intention. But I want them to back up. So he sends a man, basically saying, vast reserves have been called upon. And Abu Sufyan's coming with an all-encompassing army and hopefully to scare the Muslims in Al-Madinah. His intention was to frighten the believers into remaining in Al-Madinah, which Abu Sufyan wanted. However, when these reports reached our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately declared in Ibn Sa'd in his Tabaqat, page 563, I shall keep the appointment with the unbelievers, even if I have to go alone. I shall keep the appointment with the unbelievers, even if I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have to go alone. Meaning, I've given my word. Prophets don't just give their word, like we say, inshallah, and then we don't turn up. Right? He goes, I will go alone. Hence, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this time, marched out from Al-Madina with a force of 1,500 men. When Abu Sufyan radiallahu had realized that his ploy had not worked and the believers were marching to Badr, he then now had no choice but to prepare also for the forthcoming encounter. Thus, he got the Quraysh together and rode out of Makkah of an army consisting of 2,000 men. So look how interesting. In Uhud, how many was there? 3,000. In this encounter, 2,000. What's happened? It means that a lot of them didn't have the, you know, they thought, you know, this is what's happening, weather's bad and this, that and the other. So he gets 2,000. However, when the Quraysh reached Usfan, few miles outside of Makkah, Abu Sufyan suddenly got cold feet. What did he say? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 448 of the English translation, Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, page 560, Al-Bidayah. Ibn Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set out aiming at Badr, 70 miles southwest of Al-Madinah, to meet Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu. He appointed Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul radiyallahu anhu to look after the affairs of the Muslims in Al-Madinah. So look how strange, stop in the report. Who's he deputized? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the governor in his absence, the chief hypocrite's son. Abdullah ibn Ubay is the chief munafiq, his son. Look how amazing. He goes, chief munafiq still about, but his son is completely trustworthy. He'll do the job in my absence. Upon arrival, the Prophet arrived in Badr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spent 8 days there, waiting for Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, who went out leading his people of Makkah till he descended at Majinna from the direction of Tahran. But according to another narration, he reached Usfan before it seemed to him to return with his people whom he addressed. And he said, Ya Ma'ishar al-Quraysh, O assembly of Quraysh, it befits you to fight in a fertile year where you could cultivate trees and drink milk. And this year of yours is arid. We shall fight again in the year of abundance. Hence, I am going to return as you should with me. They did accordingly and were called by the people of Makkah the army of Sawik, taunting that they marched forth only to drink as Sawik. So when they came back, they goes, oh, embarrassing and humiliating is what was all about. He goes, oh yes, you went for the drink at Usfan. So you're the army of Sawik. Some of the stalwarts of the Quraysh protested at the decision, such as Safwan ibn Umayyah and Ikrimah radiyallahu anhuma, but to no avail. The force thus ignobly retreated. So think about that. So Safwan told them, don't go back to wipe them out. But when he's in this contingent, why are you going back? He goes, no, we're going to meet them. And then so, look, it's a bad year. We'll come back next year. I'm not going in this year. And they listened to Abu Sufyan. But look how amazing. Initially, he sent a man because he didn't want to go in the first place. So what do you notice? They won the Battle of Uhud. But this more than made up for that loss. Because now, psychologically, they weren't ready for the Muslims. They didn't want to engage with them. They were coming out with excuses. So Abu Sufyan was a military genius, but he was no fool. He knew the strength of the Muslims, right? And he tested them at Uhud. Because now they're twice the number, 1,500. But he used the excuse of weather. Right? Imagine the weather, as if you know, you were born in Makkah, you know the weather of Makkah. He goes, no, I will go next year when there's plenty of milk. And when they came back, they go, oh, the army of Sawik has come back. You know, humiliating. And the Prophet was remaining, waiting for them in Badr. Imagine 8 days. He was there in that blessed land mentioned in the Quran. And we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically, I mentioned a little bit about some of the blessed martyrs of Uhud, just a connection with these noble souls, radiyallahu anhu. Then I mentioned the unbelieving Quraysh almost decided to return to finish the job, but one of the Khuza'i noblemen prevented them and Safwan ibn Umayyah from their own side, which is a mercy. And then I mentioned the second Badr. Was there a second Badr? And what was the logistics at the time between the, both the forces? Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawassaw bil haqq wa tawassaw bis sabr subhanallah.